Amen. Hey, you can grab a seat. Say thank you one more time to the band for leading us this evening. Thank you guys so much. Hey, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So if you have a copy of God's Word with you, whether it's on your phone or if you have a paper copy, Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be hanging out. Hey, take 2 seconds and just look at the person next to you and say, I'm so glad you're here tonight. If you don't know the person, now you do. It's a great way to get to know them. Hey, like I said, Mark chapter 4, we have officially made it to the 4th chapter. So for those of you that have been with us since the beginning, thanks for going with us verse by verse. This has been a blast to listen, to be a part of it. Just as a reminder, if you miss a week or anything like that, we know it's the summer. So one, thank you for being here. But two, we actually have a podcast now of the messages. So you can go back, listen to them if you missed them, or if you really liked one, you can listen to it again on Apple and Spotify. So just be a friend, tell a friend. Last week, we finished up chapter 3, and Cal talked about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so much that comes with that. And today, as we open up, it's right on the heels of that as Jesus continues his ministry. But before we open that, can we just say a big thank you to Cal Kilgo and all that he does week in and week out? If you don't know him, he is on stage, behind the scenes, and everything in between, and pours his heart out into this ministry day in and day out. He prays for y'all. He loves you guys. And so if you don't know him, get to know him. If you do, say thank you. And also to Hannah Rolfe, to Ben Besner, and Jaden Thompson. Can we say thank you to them? Believe it or not, we actually work at the church beyond just Tuesday night and Sundays, and they work a lot during the week to make this happen. And so just want to say thank you to the team for doing what they're doing. If you know anything about Mark chapter 4, this is the parable, probably what it says in your Bible, is the parable of the sower. It's probably what it says if you have subtitles in your Bible. A lot of people call it the parable of the soils. We'll get into all that, but for all you like Houston suburb people, okay, we're not going to get into like farming, okay? So I have a little meme for you. Let's break the tension. Like, it ain't much, but it's honest work, okay? We're going to break down God's word together tonight. If you did drive a John Deere tractor here and you know everything about farming, most of us don't, so just let it be, okay? But we're going to break down God's word together and what it looks like for us. Like Hannah said in our house of prayer moment, as we got started this evening, this is going to be pretty introspective. Like, I'm going to ask you personally not to think about who else this applies to, and we can do that sometimes, right? We're like, man, so-and-so needed to be here tonight. I'm going to ask you to look at yourself, look in the mirror, and evaluate the status of your heart as we go into this. So there's 20 verses. It's kind of a lot to go through. But I think what you'll find is Jesus explains in the back half of what we're going to go through the front half. And so it'll pick up as we go. But let's just look at verses 1 through 9 and get an idea of what we'll look at together this evening. Again, he, being Jesus, began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and he sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Verse 2, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. A sower is like a farmer, it's somebody that's throwing seeds on the ground to see what will come up for the crop. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and they devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that's verses 1 through 9. Just a little bit about this context. First, Jesus, this is a big crowd. We've kind of talked about this before. This is a big crowd. What we're talking about here is like really, really big. Like there's no microphone, there's no sound system. And so Jesus gets into this boat so that he can kind of back up because of the crowds there. And I read this week by a guy that's a lot smarter than me. And he said to use a boat as a floating pulpit, kind of like what this is right here, as we read before in chapter 3, was something that Jesus was familiar with. But this is interesting to know that there's a spot that's just south of Capernaum where the shoreline of the lake, it forms a natural amphitheater. And the land slopes gently down to this bay, and the bay is actually called the Bay of Parables. Israeli scientists have verified that it's in a location that a human speaker can easily be heard by several thousand people on the shore. So you talk about Jesus knows what he's doing. He sees the crowd. He's like, hey, we need that boat. And he kind of backs up. And so thousands of people can hear what Jesus has to say. And he tells them in the opening phrase, his first word is listen. And then he tells thousands of people this parable. And he ends with, hey, if you have ears, listen. Hear what I have to say. So there's a lot going on here. And at first glance, this might be a little confusing. Again, the point of tonight is not to talk about farming. It's not to talk about how to grow a garden at all. Sometimes it's easy for us to like read ourselves into the story. Like you might be like, I'm a farmer. Okay, I don't know if you are or not, but like, okay, I get what he's saying right here. That's not what I'm talking about. You might think like, oh, well, maybe I need to be a salesman so that I can sell people like this farming equipment because they're going to use it. No, that's not the point of this at all. This isn't about dirt. This isn't about seeds. This isn't about farmers. This is about God, his word, and our hearts. And if you look at this picture up here, there's going to be a picture of the four different types of ground that this seed lands on. And so you can see right here, like there's the path, there's the rocks, there's the thorns, and then there's the good soil. If you want to, take a picture of it. We'll put it back up later, but we'll, like, take a picture of it if you need to, but look back up here and like look at me in the face. Like look at me with your eyeballs, okay? If you don't get anything else out of tonight, okay? If you're like me, I'm like, get to the point. If you don't get anything else out of tonight, I want you to leave here knowing which one of the four that you are. Does everybody hear that? Is the goal very clear? I want you to leave here confidently knowing which one of the four of those looks like your heart. Now, it might not be what you wanted to admit, but that's what I'm talking about. Like looking in a mirror, introspective, not what somebody else is going through, not where somebody else is, but you standing before a sovereign God, being honest about the condition of your heart, which one of these four does your heart look like? If it's still a little bit unclear to you, Jesus explains it. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12, the purpose of the parables. That's the subheading that I have in my Bible, the purpose of the parables. So after this happens, next week when Cal speaks, he's going to actually pick back up in Jesus' address to the large crowd. But they kind of do a fast forward of like the next day, like after the fact, and then they rewind and go back to it. But as you fast forward, this is when they were alone. Look at verse 10. And when he was alone, Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, so this is the 12 disciples and some other people that were closer followers of Jesus. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. And they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So this passage between verse 10 and when we go all the way to 20, this is just Jesus huddled up. Like what we're getting an inside glimpse of is kind of like a post-game interview. You know what I'm talking about? It's like everybody watched the game, but then you see sometimes they break it down like, hey, what happened on this play? What was going through your mind here? And they get this opportunity to talk to Jesus, and Jesus explains that he's speaking in parables on purpose, that there's a point to this. And what he says in 10, 11, and 12 is that if you get this, all the other parables are going to make sense. All the other stories, like a parable is like a story. Like again, this is not about dirt and farming. This is about God and our hearts. This parable is what every other parable hinges on. If you get this, you'll get the other things that Jesus says, but it all starts with your heart. If your heart is not receptive to God's word, you'll never fully understand God's word. That seems kind of crazy, but if you've been a believer for any length of time, you know that if you have the Holy Spirit living in you and you're spending time in God's word, God makes it clear to you. And sometimes you might have to read it a couple times, okay? That's normal, but what he's saying is if you get this, if you get what's going on in your heart, all this other stuff will make sense. But if your heart is hard, if your heart is not receptive to God's word, anything else he says after this, you're gonna miss it. There's a quote that I read in a Gospel Coalition article that says, parables are understandable to people, the people in this group, because their hearts are open, they're receptive. The outsiders here are the religious leaders who have rejected Jesus' message. In the previous episode, like when he's talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, rejecting the Spirit's work and intentionally turning to darkness, God will now blind their eyes using their unbelief to accomplish his salvation plan. This is big. He's saying like, hey, if you have ears to hear, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. And all the religious people at that time go, no, I got it figured out. I'm not going to listen to Jesus. I'm not going to have an open, receptive heart to him. I'm going to do this on my own. Even in the Old Testament, you read the Old Testament in the book of Exodus where Pharaoh goes, no, I don't want to do what God's telling me to do. And Pharaoh hardens his heart. And then what happens? God hardens Pharaoh's heart, but God uses that for his glory and gets his word out to more people. Now, this is where we're going to spend most of our time. Look at verse 13 through 20. If you got a Bible, follow along with me. It's going to be on the screens, but this is where we're going to spend our time this evening. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. It's the first and the second. And there are others that are sown among the thorns. These are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, and they accept it, and they bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Y'all look up for a second. That was a lot. It was 20 verses going through quickly. I just want to like, don't miss this. Jesus is the farmer. He's the one sowing the seed. The seed is God's word. Like if you got a Bible in your hand, this is what he's talking about. The word of God that changes all of our life. That calls us to look like Jesus and shows us how to do it. You are not the farmer in this story. You are not the seed in this story. Those things never change. Jesus is an eternal God that always was, always is, and always will be. He is an eternal God that is sovereign and above all things. His word is useful in every time period for everything that we will ever experience. And then it comes to the soil. And again, I don't encourage you to often read yourself into a text. Like a lot of the time, we read David and Goliath, okay? Like my daughter, she loves that story. She's like, yeah, like slingshots and da-da-da-da-da. And we're like, yeah, I'm like David, right? Like I'm going to slay the giant. Like, no. We can miss the point of that all the time. That's the story of a sovereign God and his goodness and his grace. But in this story, we can absolutely see ourselves here. Because what Jesus is saying is he is clear in his word. He has put his word out for us to respond to, and we respond in one of four ways. So if we want to put that picture back up there of the four soils, we're going to go through those one by one. The first one, if you're taking notes, let's just call it the road. The road. This is hard soil. This is like trying to plant a garden on I-45. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you can throw whatever you want to on that thing. It's not gonna grow, okay? So the first one, if you're taking notes, it should be on the screen, is the road. Hard soil. That is a hard heart. What the scripture talks about is like, it's a path that's been beaten down by men and women walking on it. And we live in a world where we are constantly getting trampled, we're constantly getting formed by the world around us, by a sinful society. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. We live in that world, and if you are not careful, your heart can get hard to God's word. You can miss what God's calling you to do. And so what it looks like here, Warren Wiersbe said this, hard hearts must be, if we're going to use the farming whole thing, plowed up before they can receive the seed, and this can be a painful experience. So think about it, believer, Christ follower in the room, think about when the Holy Spirit got a hold of your life. There was probably some wrestling that came with that, right? Like, you probably didn't just wake up and everything was fine and you're like, I'm going to give my life to the Lord today. Like, you might have been going through the worst part of your life and the Holy Spirit got a grip on your soul and called you to follow him. But when he does that, he's calling you to give up other things, and that's got to break up that concrete on your heart. That's got to break up that hard dirt. So that's the first camp. And that's a lot of people in this room. Like, that's a lot of people. If you don't know Jesus, that might be the camp that you're in. Again, everybody in here, like, don't look at somebody else. Like, you're in one of the four. I just want to keep that in front of you. Which one of these describes your heart? There's no fifth option, and there's no none of the above, okay? Like, it's one, two, three, or four. It's a hard heart. Some seed, Jesus says, falls by the wayside. But the trouble was that the wayside was so exposed to the traffic of the world, that the constant comings and goings of the feet of men, that it became over the weeks and months and years as hard as concrete, I-45. And no seed ever got through. If you hear the Lord knocking on the door of your heart right now, and it sounds like he's knocking on concrete, he who has ears, let him hear. That might be God and his grace getting a hold of your heart tonight. I can't play Holy Spirit in your life. That is only between you and the Lord. But if there's four categories, probably about a 25% chance that somebody in here falls into that. The second one, the rocks, shallow soil. The rocks, shallow soil. This is a shallow heart. Like, that's super encouraging, right? Like, nobody ever wants to be like, you got a shallow heart, right? This won't be on the screen, but something else that I read this week said this, that some professing Christians, they have no root in themselves. Their root is in their parents or their Christian friends or in their pastor or in enthusiastic surroundings. And so what it's talking about is that this seed, it makes it to the dirt, but there's a bunch of rocks. And that soil is real shallow. And so something might grow real quick, but as soon as things get hard, it's gone. And so for you in the room, like, listen, people that are in Texas, United States, cultural Christianity is rampant. You either have your own faith or you have no faith at all. You don't have grandmas, you don't have your pastors, you don't have your friends. And I'm begging you tonight, if that's you and you came here just because, one, I'm glad you're here, but two, that's not enough. God's called us to have a personal walk with him. Your root can't be in your parents, your friends, your surroundings, your pastor, whatever. Those people should lead you to Jesus, but there's got to be a moment where you put your faith in Jesus, because you can't have a relationship with Jesus from a secondhand standpoint. Amen. It's got to be with him and through him. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said this, and this will be on the screen. He said, there are many more whose religion must be sustained by enthusiastic surroundings. They seem to have been baptized in boiling water, and unless the temperature around them is kept up to that point, they wither away. The religion that is born of mere excitement will die when the excitement is over. One of my best friends that I prayed for years and still pray for, I remember vividly a 2 or 3 week stint where, man, he started bringing a Bible with him everywhere. He started walking away from other things. He started, like, his life started to look so different. And I just remember being, like, wrecked. And one of the hardest things I ever watched was this played out, is that it was shallow soil. And he based it on enthusiasm of others, circumstances outside of some of his family. And the moment that things got hard, I mean, if you've read a lot of the Bible, like persecution of some sort, difficulties, a tougher season came, he walked away from it all. That was one of the hardest things I've ever seen. Are you content with the short-term growth that comes and goes, or do you want something that lasts? If you want something that lasts, that's a relationship with you and Jesus, not by somebody else or through somebody else. That's what the rocks look like, the shallow soil. The third category is the thorns. You could call this the crowded soil. Now, this is where it turns a page. The first two categories, that's like soil that doesn't grow anything. It's either like concrete or there's a bunch of rocks in it. Like nothing's really sustainable here. But when you look at the thorns, like this is a big deal when you look at verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. What does that mean? It means that the good stuff actually grew, that the soil was actually really good. But it was good to the point where everything grew, not just what was good. Some commentators call this a divided heart. If you've been a believer for a long time, it might be real, real easy for you to kind of look up and realize you've fallen into this category. Everything grows here, not just God's word. When everything is growing unchecked, the right things are going to suffer. If you look into this more and you study this more, what would happen in this day and age where good things would grow, but the thorns would come up and kind of surround it too, the farmer would just come and pull the whole thing up and throw it away because you couldn't get to what was good because of all the other things that grew up in it. And in your life right now, there might be thorns of different type. There might be thorns of worry. Can I get an amen? Like, you might be so worried about things. Like, you're spending time with the Lord, but then the other 23 and a half hours of the day, you're just worried. And instead of surrendering it to the Lord, you're like, man, I'm just going to hold on to that too. I'm going to let the seed of doubt, the seed of worry grow in my life as well. And it'll grow kind of right next to what God wants, but I'm not going to deal with what is from Satan. I'm not going to deal with what's unrighteous. There might be thorns in your life of pleasure. Like, it's not just the stuff that you don't want. You might have a life where you're like, man, God's got 99%, but I got that 1%. You might not even look at it as a thorn. I mean, some of us in this room, you might have a pet sin that nobody else knows about, but you kind of keep it behind the scenes and you feed it just enough to keep it alive. You know what I'm talking about? And there's something else that's growing in your soul, growing in your heart, that is not what God wants for you. This is what the thorns look like. And man, there can be some great things in your life that you can miss because you haven't given everything to Jesus. James 4, verse 7 says this, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." And when it says yourself, it means all of you. That means a surrender. That means, no, not 99%, not 99.5%, not everything that most people can see. It means every part of you, public, private, on your phone, at home, everything is surrendered to him. I'm going to submit it, therefore, to God, and I'm going to resist the devil, and the devil will flee. There's three so far there. The first two, nothing's growing. The third one, thorns are growing, but it's not what we're called to. The last one, I just called it the thriving. Like, what's good? What's healthy? What's right? What's intended for our life? This is what we're called to do. This is what Jesus is pointing us to, and this is what he's saying. If you're one of the first three, you're going to miss all the other stuff that I'm going to talk about because your heart is supposed to be pure and ready to receive the word of God so that it can grow and take root and produce fruit and define who you are. Dr. Robert Rayburn said there has been a progression in the case of the first three seeds. The first never took root at all. The second started but died. The third survived but bore no fruit. But in the end, none is of any value to the farmer. What he is after is grain. What he wants is for our life to be defined by the fruit that comes from God's word in us, coming out of us. Like, you know that. By your fruit, they will know you. What does it look like in your life? Is there nothing growing? Are there thorns growing? Or is the fruit growing 30, 60, 100 fold in your life? And that's what God's called us to. I mean, when we get that, when we walk in that, there's so many other things that God will make clear to us. Good soil is going to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit. Now, what's interesting is he says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So what does that mean? Like, man, we can watch as we grow in spiritual maturity, sanctification. Man, like, if you've been a believer for a while, like you got saved in like the vacation Bible school, like elementary school years, raise your hand. Praise God. If it was later in life, raise your hand. Like recently, praise God. Man, both of those are incredible, but what I would argue that both groups will see is that as you walk with the Lord over the next, God willing, 50, 60 years in a room like this, is that by the time that you're in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, you'll grow from maybe a 30-fold type right now to 100-fold because you're going to look more like Jesus because your soul is going to be more and more receptive to God's word. And you're going to learn to love that more. You're going to learn to hate the things of this earth more. Because as you know, man, when those things start to take root, what happens? Man, it hurts. Man, it stinks. That's not what we want. And as we grow to look more like Jesus, we grow to love him more. He's going to use us more. He already loves us. He already has paid for our sin on Calvary. But as we grow to learn about who he is more, we're going to look more like him, and you're going to see, man, like I didn't realize how many opportunities I had in a day to share my faith with the people around me, to live out on mission, what it looks like to live a life that's marked by fruit. Colossians 1:10 says, so as to walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Does that look like your life? Think about it. Like if you got a phone, put it down. If you've been talking to somebody, stop. You're in one of those four camps. Your heart looks like hard soil, shallow soil, crowded soil, or good soil. Before we get to the end of this and before we continue in worship, do you know which one it is? Do you know which one it is? We're going to sing some more tonight. I mean, we're going to spend some time together this evening. I mean, we're going to spend together on Sunday. Like, there's a lot of opportunities for that. But what I want you right now to do, more than anything else, is to identify with one of those four. We can put that graphic back on the screen. That you would know without a shadow of a doubt. We got to find a starting point. And then we can go from there. Like if you're an unbeliever, you're probably in that first one. Where like God has spoken to you and that's like falling on concrete. And maybe God tonight is busting up that concrete and planting a seed in your life that's finally fallen on good soil. Listen to it. Like does your life look like walking in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work? And are you looking more like God because you're learning more about him? If you're a believer in the room for any length of time, what are you doing right now, today, tomorrow morning, to keep your heart healthy? What does the soil of your soul look like? And how are you fighting? How are you spending time? How are you surrendering so that God's word would be received and it would grow 30, 60, 100-fold into fruit in your life so that other people would know more than anything else about you, you identify with Jesus, that you're a follower of Christ. So we're going to end with two questions. They'll be on the screen. One, already asked it 15 times. Here's number 16. What soil are you? I would encourage you, if you have that phone, if you have that notebook, if you take notes in your Bible, write down today's date, June 17th, 2025, which one of those you are. And here's the beauty of our God. If it's one, two, or three, it doesn't have to stay that way. That he loves us so much that he's willing to take jacked up, messed up, concrete, rocks, thorns, soul, and make it new, and make it pure, and make it holy, and make somebody like me and you, who besides Jesus, there is nothing good in us, he can use people like us to make an eternal impact in this world that we live in. That's a good God. Which one are you? And then this is a little bit more personal, I would think. Does your life have fruit from you hearing and accepting God's word? Maybe you've heard it all your life, but you've never listened. What Jesus starts and ends with is, he who has ears, let him hear. Is God's word changing your life? Or is it falling on deaf ears and hard hearts? So this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head so that there's not any distraction. Because this message is for you and for no one else. For no one else. And I want to give every single person in this room an opportunity to respond to God's word, a believer and a non-believer. If you've been a Christian for a long time, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, tonight's a night for you to respond. We've told our team we're going to have a lot of people at the back of this room. And so here's what we're going to do. You know which of the four you are. I can't decide for you. None of our team can decide for you. But I'd be willing to bet that after we just spent the last 30 minutes in God's word, you know which of those four you are. So if you're a believer in this room, I want you to be praying right now. If you're a non-believer in this room, I want to give you the first opportunity to respond. Maybe you've never listened to God's word. Maybe you've heard it a bunch, but you've never responded to it. And maybe today is the day where you're willing, you're ready, you're able to surrender your pride, to surrender your own efforts, to surrender everything you've been trying to do and say, God, I need you to give me a new heart, a new condition that I can't do on my own, and I'm done trying to do it on my own. If that's you and you just want to talk to somebody tonight, will you look up and hold your hand up so I can see you? If you're ready for that, you can look up at me. Thank you. Go right back here. Right back here. If you're ready to start a relationship with Jesus, if that's you, just look up at me and let me see your hand. For everybody else in the room, if you're a believer, I understand that the summertime can be really tough. Sometimes it's real hard to come back home and to live for Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to fall back into old habits, hang out with the wrong old friends, and to do a lot of those things. maybe you've realized that, man, God's made you a new creation, but the soil of your soul is getting pretty tough right now. And you just want to go talk with somebody. You want somebody to pray with you and for you. If that's you, just look up and show me your hand real quick. Go right back here. Yeah, it's okay. Somebody's going to pray with you right now. Who else? Right back here. Yeah, just go. Just go right here. There's a couple of people back here. Who else? You just need somebody to talk with you, pray with you, right back here. Yeah. God's word does not return void. It'll change your life, but God's calling you. Are you receptive to it? Are you ready to surrender and let God do the work in your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And God, I thank you so much for this evening. God, for this opportunity, for this time. God, I pray that you would use tonight. I pray that you would use this summer, God, to soften our hearts. God, so that as you speak to us, we would listen, we would hear, we would respond. God, that if there's anything in us that's not pleasing to you, God, that you would remove it, that we would surrender it. And God, that you would use our lives, God, to just be a reflection of who you are in the world that we live in. God, I pray that for the believers in the room, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would call them to yourself, that they would look more like you today than they did yesterday. I pray that you would give them the strength to trust you, to walk with you, and to love you even when they don't feel like they have it today. And God, I pray for the lost in this room, the unbelievers, the people that don't know you personally. God, I do pray whether it's tonight and they just want to talk to somebody after this, or on a Sunday, whatever it is, God, that you would give them the boldness, that you'd give them the strength to respond. God, that you and your sovereignty and your love and in your grace, God, that you would save them and make them new. It's in Jesus' name we pray.